Bruchim Habayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Lech Lecha. Wonderful to have everybody. The Shir is said, L'zecher Nishmas U'le'ilei Nishmas. Rebecca Basarina and Leon Ben Rachel, may their Neshama Tahiris have a lichtige, lichtige Gan Eden. We're grateful for the sponsorship. As always, I'm grateful to the people who are joining here in the Heichal Live, the many people that are listening live as the shir is being given, and of course all those who will hear the recording once it's sent out. I want to remind the Olam that one of the most important elements of Parsha Insights is not only that we get greater understanding and appreciation of the Parsha, but I'd like to make sure it's used as a springboard to enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. On Shabbos, such an incredible gift, the ability to say over some of the Torah, share it with people at your Suda, share it with your family, share it with whomever it might be. I hope that the Torah generates conversation, hashkafa, brings us elevation so that it enhances our Shabbos Kodesh. I mentioned as often as I could, that is one of the prime factors that I hope comes out each and every week from our Parsha Insights. Not only to enjoy, understand, and appreciate the Parsha more, but to bring about an elevated Kedusha to our Shabbos Kodesh. Parsha Insights, Parsha Lech Lecha, a lot of what I'm sharing with you tonight is based on a very deep pshat. Absolutely one of the most fabulous pshatim from the Reisha Rav. I do want to give credit to Yedidi Harav Buchstein Shlita, who's here tonight and who brought the Reisha Rav to my attention. Throughout, I'd like to add different things that I thought of that I think perhaps would be very, very apropos. But the basis of what I'm saying comes from an extraordinary, profound, and very critical pshat from the Reisha Rav. It's based on a medrash. In the beginning of this week's Parsha, Parsha's Lech Lecha, it's well known, the first of Avram Avinu's ten nisyonos, the pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Lech Lecha me'artzecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram, you should leave, go for yourself from the land. And this is the first of the nisyonos to leave his father's house, to leave the place of his relatives, to leave the land, and to the place HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show you. Contrast that, we find about 10 prakim later, if you'll just quick, if you have a chumash, fine. If not, it's also fine. Take a look at the very end of Parshas Vayera, next week's Parsha, of course, the 10th of the Nisyonos, according to some, according to the calculation, known as Akedas Yitzchak. And there the Pasuk tells us in Chof Beis, Vayomer, Kachmas Binchas Yechitcha, take your son, take Yitzchak, Velech Lecha Eretz Hamoria, and go to Eretz Hamoria. And of course, if you notice, as I said, according to many, this is the first and the tenth of his nisyonos, his trials and tribulations. It has to be noted that the same verbiage is used in both. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, this week's parsha, lech lecha, leave and go for yourself. And if you take a look at the end of next week's parsha, Parshas Vayera, you find the exact same wording. Vayomer, take your son, velech lecha, and go to Eretz Hamoria. How fascinating is that, that the first and the last of the Nisyonos for Avraham Avinu have the same verbiage, lech lecha. It's found in the first, and it's found in the last. And that leaves the Medrash to teach us from the fact that the same wording is used. The Medrash says, obviously, we have to compare the two Nisyonos. It's worth seeing the Medrash inside. The Medrash says, I don't know which of the two Nisyonos was more chaviv, more beloved, the first or the tenth. We have to compare them. After all, they have the same wording, Lech Lecha number one and Lech Lecha number ten. The Medrash then ends by telling us that it was the second Lech Lecha, the one by the Akedah, where the exact destination of Har Moriah is given, that's the one that I know and I see is more chaviv. Why? What makes the tenth one more chaviv? Now, on a simple level, you could explain that as difficult and as challenging as the first Nisayon was, the 10th one, for him to sacrifice Akedas Yitzchak after waiting for a son and being zeichet to have Yitzchak, and now being told, Bincha Sherahofta, your Yitzchak, your only, sacrifice himself, naturally it would seem that that is far more challenging and difficult than the first. But the Medrash says something much deeper. The Medrash says that you really have to look at the first and the tenth and compare them, as the Medrash does. And there's something deeper, says the Reish Rav, that the Medrash is teaching us that makes the tenth one more chaviv, more beloved and more special than the first. What is that? And here's where our journey begins. As I mentioned, I'd like throughout the pshat of the Reish Rav to share with you different insights that I think perhaps could help us along the way. But please appreciate the profundity of what the Reish Rav tells us. Sometimes a person spends part of their day, part of their life, part of a mission, developing themselves spiritually. We do have to be better today than yesterday and better tomorrow than today. Isn't that why we're in this world? Otherwise, the Gemara says, better not have been created than to be created. Why? Now that we're created, we may do a lot of chatoyim and a lot of mistakes, but once we are created, we have to make the best of the situation. In other words, to find our tachlis, to find our matar, and to be as exceptional as we possibly can as an Eved Hashem. In other words, how commendable it is for us to develop ourselves spiritually, to constantly work on ourselves. As I mentioned this past week in the Dvar Torah, in the News and Shmooze, to work on our Amun and Bitochin. If you had a chance to see that Dvar Torah, we were very clear. When it comes to Amun and Bitochin, it's not all or none. The Chovas HaLevavis brings down in Shara Bitochin. It's a constant growth and elevation, more and more, deeper and deeper, emun and bitachin, level upon level, until we actually come to the realization we have nothing, absolutely nothing, other than our ability to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So yes, we have to work on ourselves. We have to become a sholem. It says by Yaakov Avinu, we'll read in a few weeks, Vayavo Yaakov sholem, he achieved shleimus. So certainly a person has to work on themselves. But then there's another nekud as well, a person's privilege to have children, to have einiklach, to have people that are watching you, people who learn from your every action, the importance of teaching and transmitting that mesorah, the values, the kedusha, the Torah d'kahon, the favor, the geshmak, that's pulsing with proper values over to our children. So one certainly has to analyze which of the two would be more important. And by that I mean, perhaps sometimes a person wants to continue to develop themselves greater and greater, more and more, but it might come at the expense of their children. Or is it better to work on transmitting the Messiah and all of the values to the children, although it might mean putting your own self-growth on pause, or perhaps not achieving what you wanted or what you thought because you're dedicating it to the family? The Reish Rav speaks to us that when you have the two, and he brings many beautiful proofs that I'll share them with you, that as important as it is for a person to become an Ish HaShalem, for a person to work on themselves, to have constant growth, but it's more important to make sure that the Messiah and the Hashkafa and the Torah values are given over to the children, to your family, even if it means that as a result of it, your own Shlemus will not achieve what you could have potentially. But if it means that a person concentrates on their own spiritual perfection, but that will be at the expense of their children, or to focus on the child at the expense of your own spiritual perfection, the Medrash we'll see in a moment is telling us it's more important for a person to concern themselves with their children. Their children represent our future, and that carries more weight. I mentioned a few weeks ago, if you look at our Pareichus, it says towards the bottom, there's a picture of the sneh, the burning bush, and on the bottom it says, "V'hasneh einenu ukol." that the burning bush, the sneh, was not consumed. It remained a fire. I once heard so beautifully, our grandchildren are called our einiklach. Etymologically, where does the word einiklach come from? Einiklach, our grandchildren, comes somewhere. Because regarding the sneh, the pasuk that's right behind me as I speak, really, that means those in the heichal get to see it actually live. It says, v'hasneh einenu ukal. Einenu ukal, I told you a moment ago, means that it's not consumed. If you say those two words, einenu ukal, a number of times and rather quickly, einenu ukal, einenu ukal, einenu ukal, einenu ukal, it will very much sound like the word einikal. The sneh did not get diminished. The sneh remained bright and wasn't consumed. It is through our einiklach. It is through our grandchildren, through our mesira, that there's perpetuity. Our einiklach are our einenu ukal. And that's etymologically where the words einiklach comes from. Einenu ukal, through the proper mesira being transmitted, even if it's at the expense of my own self-perfection, we will have the assurance, b'siyata d'shmaya, through our einiklach, einenu ukal. The fire will remain brilliant and bright for perpetuity. My father, Harav Mordechai Shapiro Zatzal, he used to say so beautifully, if you take a look, the pasuk tells us, and this is already giving you a little bit of a taste of the Haggadah Shel Pesach, not too early to talk about Pesach. I didn't say if you have to start cleaning. I didn't say you have to start going room to room. But it's not too early. It's not too early to talk about Pesach. You find that the pasuk says, "Ki yishalcha bincha machar lemar," which means when your child will ask you tomorrow, saying, and then the pasuk goes on. My father, al pidrush homiletically, used to read this pasuk a little bit differently. Keep in mind the verbiage I just told you. Ki yishalcha bincha machar lemar, when your son will ask you tomorrow, saying. He used to read it like this. So beautiful. You'll love this for the kinderlach. Ki yishalcha bincha, when your child will ask you a question, and you'll take the time to answer, and you won't be too busy to answer, but you'll give them the time, then machar, there will be a beautiful tomorrow. There will be a bright tomorrow. What assures the machar? What assures the machar? Ki yishalcha bincha. If your child will ask you a question, how many times have we said in these shiurim sometimes today, we're so busy and busy and busy and busy and distracted and busy and distracted and busy. They ask a question and we ki yishalcha bincha. If the child will ask you a question and you'll take the time both in quantity and quality to answer and give them the validation and recognize and acknowledge their question, then machar. Then there will be a tomorrow, a beautiful tomorrow, a future. And that's really what we said about the word einiklach, einenu ukal, through our einiklach. And so the Reisharav continues so beautifully. He brings such a beautiful proof. Oh, I feel that the whole shiur was worth it just for this following proof. I was so excited when I saw this proof. I said, for this alone, the shiur was worth it. Al-Pi Drush, he teaches us, not really such Drush, actually, the Gemara in Baba Kama. Omar Rav Yehuda says, first I'll read you what the Gemara means literally, and then I'll tell you the way the Reisharav says it. Hai man deboi lenevi chasida. If there's a person who wishes to be a chasida, a chassid, a devout person, what should he do? There are a number of opinions that the Gemara brings down. Again, if you want to see it inside, it's towards the bottom. Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Amid Aleph. The opinion of Rava is that a person should be Mekayim Mili De Avos. The word of Avos. What that means is a little bit of a machlekes. Either Mili De Avos might possibly mean a reference to Pirkei Avos. You take a look at the Rabbeinu Chananel, he says, Mili de Avos refers to the entirety of Pirkei Avos. That's what it means. Lekayim fulfill, Mili de Avos. De Avos, a reference to Pirkei Avos. If you take a look, yet others say that it's a reference to, namely, the Masechta Baba Kama. Why? Because if you take a look at the beginning of Baba Kama, the Masechta starts Arba Avos. Arba Avos with the word Avos. So when it says over here, who's the one who wants to be a chassid, to be devout, to be scrupulous, Lekayim Mili da Avos, you should be involved in Avos. Avos is reference to Baba Kama, which I just told you starts with Arba Avos Nezikin, because that the Masechta teaches us how to be careful in money matters, how to protect property from causing damage. If you study these halachos, you'll be pious. So before I get to the pshat al pidrush, I want to make sure you understand the pasuk pshat. Hai man de boy lemevi chasida. What should one do if they want to be a chassid, they want to be a pious person? The answer is, lekayim mili da avos. They should fulfill avos, which I told you is either a reference to Pirkei Avos, or the first perek of the Masechta of Baba Kama. The Reish Rav says so beautifully, you could read it differently. Hai man de boy lemevi chasida. If a person wants to be a chassid, a truly pious individual, what should he do? Lekaye mili da avos. Be a father. Be a parent. Lekaye mili da avos means the first thing to do to fulfill you being a chassid, a pious person, lekayim, make sure first you fulfill your role, mili de avos, of what it means to be a father, of what it means to be a parent, of what it means to be a child. I mamish waited just to be able to share that vart with you. That's how beautiful I feel it is. Hayman de boy le mevi chassid, a person wants to be a chassid and a pious person, lekayim, make sure you fulfill your role of mili de avos, of what it means to be a father, what it means to be a parent. I know it's something that I've said multiple times, but I feel it has to be mentioned again. We haven't mentioned it for a while, but I think it's so apropos. True that the two stories I'm about to share with you back-to-back are at least a bit humorous, but how could I not, in light of this Gemara and Baba Kama, if you want to be a chassid, make sure to fulfill your role, mili de avos, as a parent, as a grandparent, etc. I had mentioned to you that a number of years ago, my wife, she shall live and be well, she met a woman who lived elsewhere in South Florida. And this woman told my wife the following story. It's funny that she should admit to it, but she did. She told my wife, of course, nobody will know who the woman is, but I'm still not giving any identifying details, but either way, you wouldn't know who the woman is. But she shared with my wife that a number of years ago, I don't know if it's still accurate, but certainly a number of years ago, when you were taking the Miami bus, the Metro bus, you had to pay for yourself and a child who was 5 or above. But if the child was under 5, you didn't have to pay. This woman told my wife she was getting on with a child. It sounds like this would be a joke somewhere, except it really happened. This woman was getting on the bus with her child who was 5 and a few months, already 5 and a few months. But she didn't feel like paying twice the double fare. So this is what she told my wife she did. She told the child, this woman told her own child, I'm going to pay once. So when the driver asks how old you are, tell him you're 4. Not such a big deal. It's such a biggie. You're 5 in a couple of months, so tell him you're 4. So she gets on, she pays once. They're starting to go to the back of the bus. And the driver says to the child, seeing the mother only paid once, how old are you? So he said, remembering what the mother dutifully said, I'm 4. So the driver asked the child, when are you going to be 5? And he said, the second I get off this bus, I'll be 5 right away. Ay, hay man de boy le mevi chasida. Hai man de boy li mevi chasida. Lekai emili de avos. Lekai emili de avos. They're watching. They're looking. and they're going to learn. You want the child to be an Iber Chacham, he'll be 5 the second he gets off the bus. I feel that I must tell you the flip side of that same coin. And note that I just used the word coin. You'll hear in a few minutes why. But it's the flip side of the same coin. But so beautiful. Yamamish, you want such a beautiful story we're about to hear. There was someone from the community who years ago went to Eretz Yisrael to visit his relatives. And his relatives had a young son and daughter, maybe 7 and 8. And he noticed that the children of his relatives liked playing Monopoly with people in their same building. But strangely, he noticed that they were playing a game of Monopoly, let's say when he arrived on a Monday. And Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, his little two cousins, the 7 and 8-year-old, together with the others in the same building, were playing the same game of Monopoly. Not they played a new game and another game of Monopoly. The game just went on and on and on and on. And finally, like Thursday, he must have turned to his little cousins. He was exasperated and said, the game can't last so long, the same game. I'm sure he said it in Ivrit. Don't you know, or maybe not, don't you know the way Monopoly works? You lose all your money, you're out of money, that's it, you lost, the game's over. How could your game be taking all week? You've been playing it for countless hours. You lose all your money, you're out. His little 7 and 8-year-old cousins looked at him like astonished. They looked at him with wide eyes and they said, what? Lose all your money? No, we play with a gemach. We started a gemach. Somebody's out of money, we have a gemach. You don't ever lose all your money. How do you lose all your money? In our Monopoly game, we have started a gemach. Because they saw in their own home, Hayman de boy chasida. Do you want to be pious? Do you want to be a chassid? There's one solution. Lekayim, then be mekayim and fulfill your role. Mili de avais. Do you want it to be the mili de avos that the kid says, I'll be 5 when I get off the bus? Or do you want it to be the mili de avos that a child instinctively and intuitively knows Monopoly has a gemach, which I assure you came from seeing a home of ahava and chesed tzedakah v'oid? What's your mili de avos? What's your mili de avos? What's our mili da'avais? The Reish Rav continues. With this, we can now return to the original question that the Medrash had asked. The Medrash wanted to know, it says in the first Nisayon, Lech Lecha, and it says in the 10th one, Lech Lecha. And if you recall, when we started this year, the Medrash says, which one is more chavav? And the answer was, the second one, or I should say the 10th Nisayon, meaning the second one that says Lech Lecha, is more chaviv. Why? What about that made that one more chaviv? Following his yesod that we said a few moments ago, is it better for a person to work on their own perfection at the expense of their children, or to focus on their children even if it's at the expense of their own perfection? And we brought proof after proof that although a person should work on their own perfection, not at the expense of focusing on your children. Remember what my father's atzal said, ki yeshalcha bincha, you better answer them to make sure that there's a machar. And so clearly, says the Reish Rav, now the meaning of the Medrash becomes more clear. What was the first Nisayon, and what was the 10th Nisayon? Who was it for? The first Nisayon was a trial for Avram Avinu. He had to leave his hometown. He had to leave his father's home. He had to leave a place that was infamous for the worshiping of idols and all the false deities. In other words, it was a Nisayon to attain his own spiritual perfection. He was working on that Nisayon for his own perfection and his own shleimus. But if you take a look, as important that as that is, the Lech Lecha of the Akedah was Avram working on his perfection, but it had an added dimension. It was not only Avram Avinu working on his emun and bitachon, his faith and devotion, but it was Akedah Yitzchak. it meant that he had to now work on transmitting that Messiah, that Amunah, that faith, that belief, that devotion to Yitzchak. I'm ready to serve Hashem. But is Yitzchak ready to elevate himself? And that is what the Medrash means when the Medrash says that the Lech Lecha of Akedas Yitzchak is more chaviv than the Lech Lecha of the beginning of this week's parsha. For the Lech Lecha on the beginning of this week's parsha, as great as it was for Avraham Avinu to attain his own spiritual perfection. Whereas the Lech Lecha by Akedas Yitzchak was from Avraham Avinu to attain perfection, but more importantly, to transmit that, to transmit the Ahava, the Dveikus, the love, the faith, the devotion, the Emunah, the Bitachon to his son, hence the name Akedas Yitzchak. So even if that challenge meant that Avraham Avinu had to stop to now work on giving over the spiritual perfection and concern himself with his children, being asked to elevate not only himself but his son to that level, that is more precious and that is more dear between the two. For the first one, as we said, represents his attainment of spiritual perfection. The latter Lech Lecha at the end of Vayera represents his, and more importantly, why do I say more importantly his sons? Because when you have the son who has the next generation, then and only then do you have a machar. Then and only then do you have a situation of a nenu ukal, a hemshech and a continuity. Remember earlier when I gave over the story, I had mentioned to you two sides of the same coin. What do you want it to be? If you take a look, the Reisha Rav, to conclude his pshat, that will end with a bracha, says, there's a Gemara in Baba Kama, speaking about Baba Kama, Mili de Avos, there's a Gemara in Baba Kama, that Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis, that says, Avraham Avinu minted a coin, a matbeya. Matbeya is a coin. On one side there was an old man and an old woman, and on the other side there was a young man and a young woman. Rashi says, who was the old man and old woman? None other than Avram and Sarah. On the other side, who was the young man and the young woman? None other than Yitzchak and Rivka. I translated the word matbeya the way it's commonly used. A matbeya means a coin. On one side of the coin and on the other side of the coin, on one side was Avram and Sarah, on the other side was Yitzchak and Rivka. Says the Reisha Rav, matbeya also has another definition. If you take a look in the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara in Gittin, he quotes multiple Gemaras, that the word matbeya in those situations, the word matbeya means a teaching. The word matbeya means something that is being taught and being given over. Not just coin, but an indelible impression and a teaching. With that idea, says the Reisha Rav so beautifully, your teaching, like a matbeya is a stamp. A matbeya is something that leaves an imprint and an indelible impression, a teaching that leaves that imprint. And what we're being taught is, what was the matbeya of Avraham Avinu? Which means, what was the imprint that he left on this world? What was the teaching that he left in this world? What was the indelible impression that he left in this world? On one side was he and his wife Sarah, but on the other side was his son and daughter, Yitzchak and Rivka, representing communication of the values to the next generation, to give over to the younger generation, the next generation. Dare I say, lo tepshat of my father's atzal, one side of the coin of Avram and Sarah represented the Hayyim. The other side of the coin of Yitzchak and Rivka represented the Machar. And that was a beautiful Machar. In other words, says the Reisha Rav, his matbeya, his coin, his imprint, his stamp, his teaching, the indelible impression that he left on this world was that on one side you have the parents, and on the other side you have the children. Einenu ukal. I hope, Ezras Hashem, that's our imprint as well. Mayrai v'rabbeisai, it's a tremendous achrayas. It's a constant responsibility, constantly evolving and constantly needing our tefillos. It says by Har Sinai, Royim es hakoylos means that one of the miracles was, normally thunder is a call, is a sound, you hear it, you don't see it. The thunder was so extraordinary that Royim es hakoylos, they saw the thunder, the noise. I once heard a beautiful pshat on Royim es hakoylos. I saw that the Pesach Chron, he should live and be well, brings us down, and I think it's such a beautiful pshat. It's a message to parents. Sometimes parents have a kol, a voice, meaning to say they preach this and they preach that and they want this and they want that and they might yell about this or they might sermonize about that. You know what a parent really needs to do? Royim es hakoylos. Let the child see that voice. It's not enough just that they hear it and hear it and hear it. You can't talk lashon hara. You have to behave beautifully. You have to act beautifully. That's a call. That's a voice. The real job of chinuch is royim es hakoylos. They have to see your voice. See that you walk the walk and talk the talk. See that you're the real deal. What does it help that you're busy? No lashon hara. And you go ahead and sit down at the dinner table and you start bashing the Rebbe or the Menahel or the teacher. Talk about terrible, despicable, mixed messages. You have to dress this way. You have to. And then the parent doesn't dress in a refined, modest manner. Proper chinuch is royim es hakoylos, that they have to see. It's not enough to hear your voice preaching about it. Royim es hakoylos. They have to see that you're the real deal. They have to see that you taka do behave the way that you're speaking about. And that's what makes the second lech lecha more chaviv than the first one. Because the second one means that I might have to put my own attainment of spiritual perfection on hold or perhaps not able to pursue it right now at the expense of, but it's not really at the expense of, helping my children and my enoch with their spiritual perfection to bring about a machar, to bring about a matbeya, a coin where our stamp, our indelible impression, our imprint will be the hayayim on one side and the machar on the other side. So important for us. I realize that we spent the whole shiur on this one topic, but I felt based on the beauty of the pshat of the Reish HaRav, it needed to be said. Avram Avinu, the Akedas Yitzchok, was even more chaviv because it was to help his son and to bring other, and that's the way to make sure a nenu ukal. That's the way to make sure that there will be a machar. I hope we merit the bracha. I really hope, Ezras Hashem, we merit the bracha. We speak about rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash, brick by brick, stone by stone. The word for a stone is an evan. And I've often pointed out, Evan, which is spelled Aleph Beis Nun, stands for three generations, Av, Ben, and Neched. Or if you want the female version, Eim, Bas, Nechda. Either way it works out. It's the Hemshech HaDoiros, the Shalshelis HaDoiros, the unbroken chain of three generations of grandparent to parent to child. Perhaps I once suggested that's why when a person leaves the grave of a parent, when you leave their matseva, their kever, there's a minhag. What does a person put on the kever of a parent? An evan, a stone. As a message to the parent, we hope to be your machar. We hope to be your einenu ukal. We hope to be your youthful matbeya. We put an evan as a way of announcing Av Ben Neched. we'll work on our children, we'll work on our Einikloch. That's what we tell the parent who's no longer alive, to bring them peace. That's why it's an Evan that's put on their kever, to remind them and us of the vital importance of the Hemshech HaDoyres. It comes from Royim Es HaKoyles, them seeing our sincerity. I hope that Evan, brick by brick, stone by stone, will Be'ezus Hashem bring about the rebuilding of the Avonim of the third and everlasting Beis HaMikdash, so that the next time we hear the call of Lech Lecha, go, it's to that land and that place that Avraham Avinu was being showed, to Eretz Yisrael, Be'ezus Hashem, with the Gula Shalema, B'mheira, B'yameinu, Amen.